We may not know even why consciously, but it's something that we perceive as very special. We have donuts, latkes, beautiful mesibes, but I think that there's something deeper, that the story of Chanukah, the nation of Chanukah, where the one little cruise, the path of Shemen, was only supposed to last but a few hours, went on and on and on. And the tremendous name that we recognize. But I think instinctively that we realize that this name is really the story of the Jewish people throughout the exile. And the fact that we're still here, we're burning bright, we're glowing as a name that embodies the history of the Jewish people. And the secret of that immortality of the Yid is also represented by the menorah, by the Ner Shemen, the Ner Mitzvah of the Torah are, and the secret of the Yid's eternity, why we're still here, why we're still thriving, is because of the Torah, Zimna Torah. And that's represented by the menorah and the Shemen that represents the Torah. And it's very special for us to have in our community of Lapiansky, who brought the Torah to Eretz Yisrael many years ago. Lapiansky was it in 20 years? 25 years. So I could tell you how wonderful it is. Until this thing. 18 years. Chai. It should be many years to Zun Hatzacha. That to leave Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha, the Torah, the Halakite, it's not an easy thing, but the community was a great beneficiary of Zlatyansky's Chachma, his scholarship, his Torah, and I think that we've all, either directly or indirectly, benefited from it as a community, as individuals. So it's a great honor and pleasure to call Rav Lapiansky to give us that Torah and Yom Tov Chanukah.
Okay, Trail to Hanukkah. When I came in and found out that I'm parallel with a magic show for the kids, I felt it was apropos because a Rav and a magician have something in common. We both have black hats, it's indispensable to the trade. We both start with an empty hat. Magicians expected to pull out a rabbit, a rabbi expected to pull out a drasha, and they only have to last for the show. Afterwards, if they disappear and the rabbit's gone, the drasha's gone, and it's, so there's a lot in parallel. I'm going to say a personal sentiment, you know, I walked in and in a Vritz, I lived there for a long time, Savat Halev means, I sort of, my heart gave a little bit of a quiver. I was looking around all the kids there and her and everything that's going on. And I was thinking how much of a winter would have been Nana. This is something that is so meaningful. Everything about the Kollel and all the activities, everything about community. And it's sort of, you know, like for a moment I was sort of a little taken by the little. And then I was thinking, you know, I'm sure there's the fact that as much as everything was on him, and he was a one-man show, but he was zeicha to build it in a way that it could continue so vibrantly afterwards. There are people, there are great people, that they build tremendous institutions, communities, yeshivas, things like that. And within a short kufa after they passed away, it dissipates because it was built on the person, and it didn't have the gears needed to sort of transition it, and it's a final stage, an expression of a certain chachma to be able to build something. On the one hand, it was a one-man show; he was so involved in it. Everything was he was the Briach HaTichon, but it was done in a way with people that could take over and had the chinuch and training to be able to look for the right leadership. And Baruch Hashem, from, you know, what I can see, there's a Hemshah pit, and I think that would be, that's probably the greatest Nachas Ruach and the greatest it's epitaph on a person who is who could build so much himself, and yet leave over something that could continue and build on the same yisodos that he left. I want to speak a little bit about the Hanukkah and the Kollel. It's something that's very appropriate to this. And I wanted to explore a little more deeply a theme that is expressed a lot, but I don't think it's given the depth it's needed. We speak about light, and it's wonderful, and light is a very positive term, and everything that goes with light goes well. And Torah is or and so on. But I'd like to be a little bit misamic. I'd like to sort of get a sense of something about different qualities of light, especially Nogea to Hanukkah and Talmud Torah. We find all mitzvahs cannot be used for mundane purposes. You can't, it's a bizarre mitzvah to take a mitzvah and make use of it in some way that is kind of profaning the mitzvah. In Hanukkah, you have it especially accentuated that we add a Shabbos to it. We make a special effort to accentuate the fact that it's not to be used just to look at it. You could say it's because light is so useful and it's so common that you'd use it inadvertently, even if unless you made a special effort to not to use it. That's possible. But I do feel there's something about the myth that it's unique. I would like to go back to Bereishis. And the very first creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is light. And the light that was created in Bereishis couldn't be used for anything. There was nothing around. There wasn't a world yet. I'm very unclear what the total of Revol, but whatever it is, the light is the first creation. So what would be the purpose of light to be there when there's nothing there? In other words, the very foundation of that which is light in the Bria is something that is not utilitarian. It's not used for anything, but it's just there. And the question is, so what is light that doesn't have a specific function? So I'd like to look at a Gemara and get a somewhat of an understanding about it. The Gemara is a Sota. And the Gemara is speaking about the relative merit of mitzvahs versus Torah and the significance of one vis-a-vis the other. So the mashal is, it brings a pasuk that ner is mitzvah, a candle, a lamp, a lantern, is a mitzvah, has the value of light as would a candle and so on, whereas Torah is or. Torah is light in a more general way, in a more encompassing sense. And it gives us a mashal. Mashal adam shei mehalech be'ishan layla b'feila. A person is walking on a dark night. U'misyorei min ha'koytsim min ha'pchasim ha'kanim u'michayirom min ha'lisim. He's got four things he's worried about. He's worried about rocks, he's worried about thorns, he's worried about robbers, and he's worried about animals. And finally, he's not sure which road he's on. So three things happen. One, nizdam lo avukah shel or, he got a torch. Nitzo min hakotzim umin hapchasim erberkanim. So now he's no longer worried about the rock, the thorns, etc. Vadayim nisyori, but he still got the problem of chayiru and listen. He still got the problem of the wild animals and the robbers. Then he day beis the derech mahalik, and he doesn't know where to go. Kivu sha'ola omer ha'tracha, as soon as it became daylight, nitzol mechayero min alistin. He no longer is worried from animals and from listin, from robbers. And then there's a final phase of when he gets to Prashas Drachim, which is not going to be what we're going to talk about. These are the two that interest us. So there are problems that are kosim and barkanim, thorns, rocks, and there are problems that are animals and robbers. What exactly are we referring to? You know, obviously we're referring to the scope of ruchnistic issues we have, the scope of the Sahara, but there are two categories, and what are they? So the first type, the stones, the thorns, are very local issues. In other words, as a person takes a step, the step, it could be a misstep. He could go into a pit, he could slip on a rock, he could go against thorns. Those are issues that are specific to the step that he's taking. And when he has something to show him where to put his foot down, that is going to be the place where he's safe. Then there's robbers and chayashua. What are they about? So if we take a look, we started today in Baruch Hinafshi, and the pasuk in Baruch Hinafshi describes the entire scope of human activity. See, it's a very, very profound capital. And we have here the following description. It says, Toshet Choshech, Kadosh Baruch Hu puts darkness down, Vihi Loila, and it becomes night. Voisimus Kolchai Seyar, and animals of the jungle begin to prowl. Akir Shargim Latero, Vakish Nakel Oslam. And the lions, the young lions, begin roaring for prey, and they begin to look for food. Tizra Hashemesh, the sun goes out. Ye Osfun, they gather in. Velmoinasam Yerbotsun, and they crouch in the lair. Ye Sodom Follow, a person goes out to work. Velavadosa Adi Aref. In other words, the prophet is describing to us a cycle of this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leased out the world to two groups of people, or two groups of beings, not people. And there's daylight and there's nightlight. The night is for chayas and for especially animals of prey, and morning is for mankind. So we're talking here about a cycle and an environment that fosters death. The Gemara has brings a lesson by Sarosh Shal Esav when he fought with Yaakov and he was struggling and he said, I gotta go now because it's gonna be daylight soon. He asked him, tell me, are you like some sort of macho guy? Like what's happening? Why are you so scared of daylight? You know, daylight is something that is the good part of the world, the constructive part of the world, inhabits the day. And nighttime is for beasts of prey and so on. There is a type of ra, there's a type of bad in the Bria that's not specific. It's not because of this, that, or the other thing. It's the setting. In a setting of night, you get night animals and robbers. It's a lot more than specific points of problems and dangers. It's the entire environment is now habitable for one and not for the other. My own personal, when it hit home to me once actually was many years ago, this is actually the year before I came to Philippines, 19 years ago, 20 years ago, my father, Chaim Erchel, was sick. He was in a hospital near the Lower East Side, and those of you who know Manhattan General Hospital, Beth Israel Hospital, and I lived about a half hour away. I used to walk there back and forth. One must have Shabbos about, I was there too late, and some friends came to visit me, and at 2 in the morning, they drove me back home, just so I didn't want to walk at 2, and we drove to the village. The village is kind of one of the ways you can go back. The Greenwich Village is pretty much between Glory Side and Beth Israel. And it was like midday, the lights were on, and I was looking at myself and saying, what, I must be wrong, it must be like 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock. It was 2 in the morning, and it was the whole village was out. A few days later, a week later or so, I needed some medication, whatever it was, and it was sort of not an easily attainable. There was a pharmacy in the village that was that carried it. I went at 11:30 in the morning, closed. And I say to myself, I don't know, it's not Sunday, I'm still Israeli, so it's Sunday today, Thanksgiving today, I don't figure out what's today, and it wasn't. And finally I asked somebody walking by, are they closed? No, they're open. Because it's not open. Well, it's another half hour, they'll open up. So I realized this section of Europe belongs to the high Sayyar. This is like the nightlife of the city. As they come out at night, they retire in the day. And it fits. It's part of the Bria. It's that Chelek of the Bria. To me, that was my... that's going to hit home that they're called the Chelek of the Bria. But there is the part of the Bria that starts. The issues that we have with that part of the Bria, when the Sahara comes to us, he sometimes comes to us with specific issues. Do this, don't do this, and that's very local, and that's remedied by a mitzvah. You know, the Shohar tells us, do this, don't do this, and so on. And then there are issues that are much more in the nature of a general perspective of things. In other words, it's part of a very big picture. And how do I look at this? And how do I understand what a person is, what marriage is, what responsibility is? A bigger picture that affects many, many smaller elements. There, in Torah, when we speak about Torah in this sense, we're talking about a person can learn Torah focused very locally on each specific point. Should I do this? Should I not do this? And that type of Torah belongs to mitzvahs. In other words, this I should step into here. Should I not step into here? Should I be careful this, careful that? That's one area. But for those problems, those ruchnistic problems that are a result of just our scope, our perspective on life and so on, that has a hard time because you start getting questions like, where does it say it's usher? Or, you know, what about this? What about this? What about that? And it's also very hard for a person to do things that are not in sync with how he understands and sees the whole picture. We can do one, two things, but if everything I'm told to do is not part of that picture and it's actually sort of, it's sort of against the grain of it, it becomes very hard. Learning Torah in its broader sense, in other words, in its big scope, not just particular halachas, is something which gives a person a big picture of what is the whole tapestry of life, purpose, meaning, the place of man, woman, family, society, community, etc. That is Torah in its big scope. And in order to deal with those problems, which in many ways that's our generation's issue. It used to be a time when kosher food, the 2 cents that it cost more to 5 cents, or the issues, what did, was very, very difficult. Thank God it's not like that anymore. It used to be a time when Shabbos was a really terrible Nisayon, and Baruch Hashem, for many, you know, it's still an Nisayon in other areas, but certainly not that type of Nisayon where there are no jobs available. Baruch Hashem, that's fine. And by and large, in many ways, those issues, we have it better than they had it. But in terms of a perspective on life, it used to be when many of our understandings overlapped, they weren't that far from the understanding. People would send children to public schools, and they would say, fine, they're not going to teach you how to daven in public school, but certain moral understandings overlapped to a great degree, and you know, what was appropriate, what was not appropriate, wasn't there would be many areas that you could at least think it was compatible. Today, it's not like that at all. Today, the big picture is a problem because the world sees things are almost 180 degrees from the outskirts we see. And that creates tremendous nisyonos because, A, we don't know where they come from, and they always, the nisyonos come between the cracks. Where does it say? It's very hard to find a sif and shofar for everything. When you see the big picture, it's very different. And when you see the big picture, those issues don't come to the forefront at all. when you have a perspective, a Torah type of perspective on the world, then those issues don't crop up. The special skill of having a kollel in a community, it's the wonderful things they do, the activities they do, are great and they're fantastic. But the real chshivus of a kollel is to bring that light when you have a group of people that are sitting and learning, and it creates an aura of Torah. Their attitudes, their understandings, their perspectives are Torahic. And it's sort of, ideas have a way of sort of flowing out and recalled, and unfortunately for bad as well. That's reality. So when we create a little bubble of Torah, that aura, forget about the specific things, which are many specific things that they help and they, you know, and so on. But I'm talking about the bigger picture. The bigger picture is they create light in a way that you see things differently. And for many people have experience who became, many people came from in a one-on-one setting where somebody argued something with them and this and that. And it's not easy going. Sometimes you come into a community of Shomer Torah mitzvahs and you say, I don't know about the details, but this is the life I want. This is the perspective on life. This is the community. This is the world that I think is right. And I'll deal with the details. The Torah provides the Torah aura of daylight. And it's tachlis, and that's why we're told not to be mishtamish with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created aura first. It's a setting. Aura first means before you need to take the first step, the big picture comes onto stage. And the big picture is aura. Now we're going to deal with there's going to be a view of bits and pieces, and each one is going to have a little specific halacha, and you'll have to avoid this and embrace this, and so on and so forth. It was, I guess, part of Rev Winter's tremendous foresight, the understanding that community needs a rough to pass and shilas, and a rough to bring Torah into the community, and to bring the general aura, and despite the fact that he could have just retired on his laurels of being a rav, he undertook something that was a tremendous undertaking, and it's a tremendous bracha. I mean, I wasn't in Camp Milford when Yeshiva came, but I see over the years, just the presence of Lomdei Torah, Yodei Torah, is something which brings a lot of light, and it's, I guess it's a tefillah, and it's to be in many ways part of it, it's one community, that's another packet of aura, another packet of aura. As more aura comes out, the effect of the aura goes beyond the specific detail. It's the very fact that when it's light outside, the beasts that love darkness find a different place to go to. And the Eivish of Health is this to be a makom of Torah and a makom of Aira and a Chag HaOiris. We should always have a ner to be mishtamish with, an aura to the oisa bovat.
Thank you very much, Baron, for your thoughtful and inspiring words. Everybody's welcome to partake of the refreshments. We're going to have dancing and singing.
Yeah, we're still recording. In fact, we're still on the air.
Still on the air.
Yeah, we'll just keep on recording and we'll see what we get. Okay. Maybe he'll hear me. Here we go.
Thank you.
We're still on the air. No.
Okay. I think maybe I'll get part of it.
Okay, do I first?
Yeah, like I said, the prayers from the Hanukkah.